Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's hump day.
Hey, you big and hairy, dude.
Hold up.
Run in.
Let me introduce myself. My name is Humpty. Pronounced with the Humpty.
This is an NFL Hump Day Roundup with Isaac and Sue.
If y'all ain't excited about this game, you can't get excited about no other games, man.
It's Wednesday. Hump Day with Isaac and Sue on 1080.
The Humpty Dance. Here's your chance to do the Hump.
The Hump.
All right, Gus Bratt, former NFL quarterback, now host of a podcast called Huddle Up with Gus, will join us at 5:30. Get some more deets on, you know, football. Interested in his thoughts on Justin Herbert, what Anthony Lynn is doing by calling out Justin Herbert.
And now having to go to Justin Herbert because, well, Tyrod Taylor has a punctured lung.
It's a little bit of yesterday's news, but I don't care. I want to ask him anyway about what the Falcons were thinking on that onside.
Well, their owner came out, Arthur Blank, and just said he didn't think the guys understood the rule, which just blows my mind. How do you not know? Like, is there, outside of Donovan McNabb, is there anyone that doesn't know simple rules of the NFL? Like, how do you not know when you're on the hands team, the 10-yard rule? I mean, yeah. It's absurd.
Well, you mentioned McNabb. I mean, that was a real thing.
Yeah, the overtime thing.
He didn't know that games ended in a tie, right?
Yeah.
He had no idea.
No idea. At least that's somewhat obscure. Like, who doesn't know the onside kick rule? That is as dumb a play I've seen by a group of players maybe ever in the NFL.
If you get one guy that is saying, stay away.
Maybe.
I think that others, it's just happening so fast that others would be like, oh, yeah, wait, no, don't stay. And then before you know it, it's too late.
That's a good idea there, a good theory that it might have just been one guy yelling. And if so, that guy should be cut tomorrow.
All right. Well, here is your NFL news you can use. Gale Sayers is dead.
Yeah.
Age of 77.
The great Gale Sayers.
He was living with dementia. Of course, everybody calls him Bears running back. I call him Kansas running back.
Yes.
Because he went to KU.
Career cut short, but, you know, knee injuries. But people that saw Gale Sayers, a lot of people claim is as good as anyone that ever played the game.
Yeah.
He only played in 68 regular season games.
Yeah, 68. He had 5,000 yards, though. Yeah, he was awesome.
I saw someone rank him. I think it was Gil Brandt ranked him as the fourth best running back of all time today.
Oh, who were the top three?
I'm guessing Jim Brown.
Jim Brown was number one.
Barry Sanders.
Maybe Peyton.
Yeah, Walter Peyton for sure. Maybe Sanders, but yeah, I don't remember who the third one was. I'll find it for you.
Boy, Gil Brandt's still kicking.
Yeah. And then Gale Sayers, obviously, Brian Song. He's tied to that.
Brian Piccolo.
Yeah. That a lot of people.
They can now meet in heaven.
You ever see photos of Gale Sayers' knees?
No.
It's really bad.
Well, that's what cost him his career, right?
Same thing with like Earl Campbell. You just realize how far.
He had OJ third. He had Jim Brown, Walter Payton, OJ Simpson, Gale Sayers.
Whoa.
The juice.
Was the juice better than Barry Sanders?
No. No. Barry Sanders. Well, again, how are we defining.
So Gil Brandt likes murderers, huh?
Well, you remember. Realize Gil Brandt's 1,000 years old, so you're
well, he did see OJ play.
Yes.
I'm too young to. I don't
also,
have.
Also, Gil Brandt's still really sharp when it comes to football.
Yeah, I know. I think he is too. I think it matters that he saw OJ play. I'm too young.
Yeah.
I don't remember OJ. I know he was good, but I don't have the same with Gale Sayers. Jim Brown.
Exactly.
That's probably why I'm bringing up Barry Sanders is I watched Barry Sanders.
And that's what I'm saying. If you ask guys that are of his age, you'll probably get more OJs and Jim Browns. And if you ask people that are a little bit older, you're going to get some, you know, the Walter Paynes, you'll get some Eric Dickersons, you'll get some, you know, the LaDainian Tomlinson is a guy that I think doesn't get enough credit, modern day backs, but my point was with like Gale Sayers, I've seen photos of his knees and like Earl Campbell's knees, whose both careers, you know, were ended because of that. You know, we just had Saquon Barkley that had ACL surgery. He'll be back in a year, you know, but back then when you had an ACL tear, you were done. I mean, it's just like they filleted you open like a fish.
Yeah.
And it's just amazing.
Is that what got him? Was the AC? Was this an ACL tear?
Yeah, ACL, but I think he had a couple of them.
Yeah. He once had 6 TDs in a game, Gale Sayers. That's hard to do.
That's quite impressive. I think Al Bundy only had 4.
Well, he had 4 rushing, 1 receiving, and 1 return. He was a great return man, too, Gale Sayers. But Brian Song, great movie, top sports movie. Rest in peace, the great Gale Sayers, Kansas Comet.
And you said he was battling dementia?
Yes.
That stinks.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, a lot of those old guys, you know, the game and just, you know, the equipment and, you know, concussions just weren't a thing.
But everybody swears by him. They say he was a great man, very nice man, Gale Sayers. All right, the Niners, what they're doing to replace some of their injured, we'll get to that coming up next. It's 414 on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, in the news coming up next.
I looked up real quick with Gale Sayers. Yeah, 2 knee surgeries, and I saw a quote where he said that the problem wasn't necessarily the knee injuries. He said they had to saw through all the nerves in order to fix it, and that's what he said. He goes, if it was today, he goes, neither one of those injuries would have been anything close to career ending. But he goes, just the techniques back then, he goes, they literally had to saw through everything in order to get to him. And so it wasn't the actual injury. It was believe it or not, he said it was the surgery that prevented him from ever coming back.
That makes me feel very uncomfortable hearing saw through all the nerves.
Look at it. Go find, because you can't see it anymore. Anyone that, you know, is roughly my age, anyone in their 40s, I've had tons of knee surgeries and you just see little holes in my knees. But if you look, luckily I never had an ACL. If you look at anyone that played like pre-1980, look at their knee. And if someone has a knee surgery scar, it's just horrific. And even ACLs today, a lot of, you know, the scars on modern ACLs aren't real bad. But those guys, it looks like railroad tracks. They are just brutal techniques that were used back then because they didn't know any better.
The Kansas Comet, dead at the age of 77. We talked earlier about the Tyrod Taylor injury. We think that the Chargers team doctor had a bet on when Justin Herbert would make his first start. And so he punctured Tyrod Taylor's lung on purpose.
Dr. Nick Riviera there, or Johnny Sins, whoever was in charge of that, it didn't go very well.
So we're going to get Justin Herbert out there again against Carolina this week. We're also going to get Nick Mullins.
Yes.
The Nick Mullins show.
Although it's weird because, you know, the Chargers are doing the, you know, hey, we're going to play Herbert. We have to. Kyle Shanahan's making it sound like he's all excited. He goes, I'm fired up right now. I can't wait to see what Nick Mullins can do. I think he hates Jimmy Garoppolo.
I think he does too.
Although, to be fair, Garoppolo, when you look at some of the advanced metrics before he got hurt, he was having, in his brief window, he actually had the best performance of week 2. Garoppolo was perfect before he got hurt.
His numbers are not as bad as you would think.
No.
Like if you go look at the quarterback stats, it's kind of interesting. Here, let me pull them up because I think Josh Allen's like on the top.
Yeah.
Right now. And Matt Ryan, Dak Prescott, Teddy Bridgewater. Then you go all the way down to the worst guys.
I bet you Carson Wentz is down there.
Yeah. Yeah, he's last. Hold on one sec.
Cousins isn't very high.
Cousins is last. Carson Wentz, Daniel Jones, Tyrod Taylor, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Tom Brady, Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And then you look at like, well, we think Drew Brees has been awful. He's middle of the pack. His quarterback rating is 93.
Yeah, not bad.
He doesn't look good, but and then Jimmy Garoppolo's up there in the top 8.
Yeah, Garoppolo had a great week, too, before he got hurt. So
right in between Gardner Minshew and Aaron Rodgers. I mean, what company?
Let's just all just take a deep breath on the Jimmy Garoppolo sucks thing, although I do think
he does suck.
I think there's tension there with the coaching staff.
Well, look, just because you have numbers doesn't mean you don't suck, and I think that Kyle Shanahan secretly resents Jimmy Garoppolo and he thinks that he cost him a Super Bowl. And he might not be wrong.
It's possible there. I mean, if he completes the pass to Sanders, that game is over. You know who I've actually seen the last couple weeks? Well, there's only been two of them. Who I think looks pretty good.
Derek Carr.
And he got a good contract, and everyone kind of sleeps on him. I think Ryan Tannehill has looked good in Tennessee.
His numbers are good.
Yeah, I don't think, you know, a lot of people aren't taking Tennessee real serious, but yeah,
Derrick Henry's not the same as he was so far.
Well, people are loading up to stop him.
He's not breaking tackles.
No, he had a nasty stiff arm against Jacksonville. I think Tennessee's been pretty good. I like their defense, and I think Tannehill has been solid.
No one's been better than Dane Dress, though.
No. He's the
MVP leader.
He is. He's the Aaron Rodgers has been ridiculous too. Rodgers might be on the FU tour as well.
Niners gonna add Deion Jordan and Ziggy Ansah.
Yeah. Well, every one of their defensive linemen is hurt. So D Ford isn't coming back anytime soon. They thought it was a neck problem. Turns out it's a nerve thing in his back. They need some reinforcements. So you know, you activate Jordan, who's he's been a pretty spotty player at best. And then Ziggy Ansah, when healthy, has been effective. He's just never healthy. So isn't it interesting that you're bringing in, like, the guy that's always hurt to replace people that are currently hurt? But,
yeah. Well,
I feel like they went with the two most known names that were out there. It's like, oh, Deion Jordan and Ziggy Ansah. Well, I know those guys.
Looks good on paper.
Yeah, not many other guys, though, I mean, that are out there. I think Clay Matthews, if you want to go linebacker, I think he's still running around. They can rush the quarterback a little bit, but like no one can prepare for that kind of injury haul.
Who's going to run the ball for him?
I don't know. I don't know who they got.
Because Mostert and Coleman are out.
Yeah, they're both out.
Jerick McKinnon.
Oh, is
yeah, McKinnon. And then
Jeff Wilson Jr.
Circle jerk.
And you... yeah.
Yep.
You do, and then Juszczyk, the fullback.
And they got Jeff Wilson, who played a lot last year at the end because of injuries. He'll be getting some carries.
Did you see Mostert got up to 23 miles per hour on that 80-yard touchdown run?
Yeah, they said it was the fastest run in like 20 years.
He keeps breaking his own record,
dude,
too.
I didn't know he was so fast. Yeah. Like, he doesn't look like a speedster when he runs. He looks like...
Well, and I think that's the thing, is he makes it look so effortless. But that the 80-yard run or whatever he had against the Jets, that's insane. It didn't look like he had the corner. And then in the NFL, you normally can't turn the corner like that. It's why a lot of backs... If you're watching college football, if you got guys that live on the outside, Reggie Bush was one of these guys. I always question whether or not that works in the NFL, because you really don't turn the corner in the NFL. Guys are too fast. That cat is one of a handful of guys, and there aren't many, that actually can get and turn the corner in the NFL, and when he does it, no one catches him.
Where did he come from? What did he do in college? I don't remember him.
I don't know where he went to college. Is he an Iowa guy?
I don't remember him in the draft either.
And I think he might have bounced around a couple times before.
Sounds like he went to Purdue.
Ending up in, we talked about this last year, leading up
undrafted.
To the Super Bowl. He bounced around to a handful of different teams before ending up with the Niners.
Yeah, in two seasons, he was with the Eagles, Dolphins, Ravens, Browns, Jets, Bears.
There you go.
And now the Niners have him looking like a stud, although he's hurt.
Sometimes it just takes
interesting.
Yeah, it just takes an opportunity. And by the way, playing on a good team with a good offensive line.
Here are your 0-2 teams: Dolphins, Jets, Bengals, Texans, Broncos, Giants, Eagles, Lions, Vikings, Falcons, Panthers.
And I'm here to tell you that a lot of times, you know, we freak out over a 2-0 start or an 0-2 start. And we always say, take four games before you make any sort of evaluation in the NFL. There ain't any 0-2 teams here that look like they have even a pulse.
The most surprising 0-2 team is the Vikings.
But, you know, you knew that they had some issues. That defense was decimated.
Yeah.
They're having to rebuild the defense. They can't lean on it anymore.
Yeah.
And they needed
their secondary's terrible.
And they had departures, obviously, with Stephon Diggs. They needed the offense to be better, and it just hasn't. The offense hasn't been good, and they no longer can rely on a defense, which is why I said, there's not an 0-2 team that I think has any chance of resurrecting their season. Carolina's bad. Atlanta can't get out of their own way. If there is an 0-2 team that I think has any hope, maybe.
Houston?
Maybe it's Atlanta. I think Houston's a mess.
Really?
Yeah.
And what happened to them?
And O'Brien's going to get
Bill
fired.
O'Brien.
Bill O'Brien.
Still, huh?
They traded DeAndre Hopkins for David Johnson.
Yeah, how's David Johnson doing?
He played well in his first game.
Yeah.
I don't know what he did last week. But.
And here's the thing: to be fair, the Texans may, as the schedule gets better, to beat. They've been drubbed now twice, but they got drilled by the Chiefs and the Ravens.
Right.
And, you know, that those are elite teams. But the problem is you got the Steelers, you know, coming up. You could get – this will be a better idea, right? If the Steelers drub you, then you're in a lot of trouble. But then you got the Vikes, the Jags, Titans, God. Packers, Jags. They
opened Ravens, Chiefs, Steelers?
Ravens, Chiefs, Steelers.
Jeez.
So
that's rough.
That's the only thing I'll give Houston maybe a pass on is you've played an awful schedule, but you're nowhere near those top teams. So, I just like I said, I just don't think there's a 0-2 team that has a pulse.
Did you see we get Ravens Chiefs on Monday night
this week?
How great is that?
Wow.
In Baltimore. Yeah. Wow,
we've
right.
We've had some good Monday night games to start the year. That's very unusual.
We also have Packers Saints Sunday night.
Yeah, we get this.
And Cowboys Seahawks Sunday afternoon. This is a good lineup.
This is by far the best week we've had so far.
And Dolphins Jaguars tomorrow.
Yeah.
Fitzmagic and Minshew Mania.
Raiders Patriots, that's a good
game. That's a good one too. I want to see
Rams Bills.
Ooh,
yeah!
What a
good little
Sunday.
This is a great little. Hopefully, well, we're gonna get bad weather. It's supposed to be nice.
Where? Here?
No, here.
It's supposed to be nice.
Damn it! You guys are gonna say you're gonna have to tell the missus. It's crappy weather. Let's just stay inside. I want to see if so. Kansas City, we know Kansas City's good. I'm not trying to dispel any of that. I was alarmed at how well the Chargers were able to deal with the Kansas City offense simply by getting to Pat Mahomes.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a good Chiefs offensive line, and the Chargers ran through them like Swiss cheese. And so is that a, did you take that too lightly? I want to see what Baltimore's front does against Kansas City. It's one game and they came back and they won it. I think that is, I thought it was an interesting development how poorly they played up front with the Chargers, and I want to see if that can be replicated.
Mahomes looked off, and then you make a couple throws, and they win the game.
Well, and that's the thing.
Like, oh, well, okay.
You'll always give them an opportunity, but we've said this before, and we'll continue to say it. Anyone that's like, oh, offenses can't be stopped, yes, they can. All you have to do is be able to rush for and get to the quarterback. The Patriots in the two Super Bowls, you know, against the Giants, they were such a better team than the Giants. Why did they lose to those two games? Because the Giants can apply pressure with four. And if you can do that, it really grinds an offense to a halt, and the Chargers got tremendous pressure and early pressure simply by rushing four. Can teams replicate that, or was it just a one-week kind of fluke thing?
Patrick Mahomes, you see his numbers in September?
No, I have not.
He is 9-0 with 28 touchdowns and no interceptions.
He's not lost a game in September?
He's not thrown an interception ever.
He's really good.
In all of his life.
He's so good.
So that will be fun Monday night.
I'll still take Russ right now.
Remember, though, an 0-2 start this year, like I'm with you that like it just looks like the bad teams are 0-2 and they're not, you know.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to turn that around. But remember, they have expanded the playoffs this year, so an 0-2 start isn't as bad as before.
No. You got hope. Although for a team like the Saints that just gave that game away by not playing real well, especially with an older team like with Drew Brees, only one bye, so it's going to be harder. You're not that number one seed. You got to play an extra game.
Also, the Seahawks have lost Bruce Irvin. They are going to start Jordan Brooks, their first round pick.
Yeah,
in his place.
Again, injuries are those one thing that it's the, you know, talk about the great equalizer. It's the one thing that no one can predict. If you get guys that go down, and by the way, most plays of 10 yards or more given up this year.
Seahawks.
Seattle Seahawks.
That Cowboys-Seahawks game is going to be a shootout.
Yes.
Because the Cowboys' defense is decimated.
As good as Seattle is on offense, they just can't keep giving up big plays like this. It's just...
They're not good.
It's a killer.
They just got to outscore people.
Yeah.
And so does Dallas. There's your NFL Hump Day Roundup. In the News is next. Here's Mike.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, still to come, Gus Verratt, former NFL quarterback, is going to join us. We're going to talk football, see what he thought of Justin Herbert. I've mentioned this a few times, but Joey Harrington will be back on The Fan beginning Friday. Fridays at 5:30 with Jolton Joey Harrington.
Is normal time, and hopefully we have some Pac-12 football to talk about, or at least an announcement should be coming at some point tomorrow.
Story time with Joey on 1080 The Fan.
Aw, remember that?
Taking us back.
So that'll be Friday. Gus Frerotte coming up here in less than an hour. Right now, though, it is September 23rd, 2020. It is time for In the News. I am your noted newsman. Today is Restless Legs Awareness Day.
Got the Jimmy legs.
Do you have restless legs, Sook?
No.
Do you have
restless genitals?
Do you have restless genitals, Sook? That's a thing.
I will say that I... if you've ever had the Jimmy legs, it is something that can drive you crazy. I've had bouts of it a little bit. But
what does that mean? What does it look like? What do you do?
Like you just...
What happens?
You just feel like you just want to kick your legs. Like you just...
Because of pain?
I don't know how to describe it. Mine was always, with all the surgeries, like the painkillers. My body does not like painkillers. I can't take them. I get weird. I get withdrawals. And when that happens, I do kind of get the Jimmy legs where you just... I don't know how to describe the feeling other than you just want to kick your feet and you just feel unsettled. It's like an itch that you can't scratch.
Is it like bouncy knee guy?
Yeah.
You know, bouncy knee?
Yeah, you just...
I always thought that was nerves.
Yeah, you just can't stop.
There's a difference between someone who bounces their knee and someone who cannot stop moving their leg.
Yeah, it's just...
Yeah, so it's not that though.
It's just creepy. It's that same sort of like feel though where you have to move.
Restless legs.
I've only had brief little, and again, it's, you know, just painkillers. Don't do them. They're horrible for you.
Well, I don't have any pain, so.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, so be aware of restless legs. It's Restless Legs Awareness Day. It is also National Checkers Day. Great game, checkers.
I haven't played a game of checkers in 20 years.
No, neither have I, but it's a great game.
I'll play chess. I don't think checkers is a great game.
You don't?
No.
I like checkers.
Eh.
You give it a meh, huh?
I give it a meh. There's 50 other games I'd rather play before I
Would
get
you rather
checkers.
Play Connect 4 or checkers?
Connect 4.
Connect Four is great.
Give me some backgammon. Give me some Chinese checkers. I don't want to play
Uno.
Checkers. Yeah. Love a good game of Uno.
Yahtzee.
Now we're talking a true game of skill.
Oregon's youngest COVID death wasn't a COVID death.
Oh, boy. Get ready for the tinfoil hatters.
Show me the bodies.
Yeah.
26-year-old Matthew Irvin died after a sudden illness on July 10th. He apparently visited the hospital before he died. He died in his apartment. And while he was in the hospital, though, he did test negative for COVID. So for some reason, the Oregon Health Authority has listed him the 295th Oregon COVID death.
Yeah.
But they have not changed that. The state and county coroners would not do autopsies on him because he had a history of substance abuse. And they also mentioned caseload concerns, which I think is odd. I didn't know that you could just not have an, you know, like if you wanted an autopsy.
They just say no?
They're just like, no, we can't.
Well, not everyone has an autopsy.
I get that. But I think in this instance, they wanted the family, I guess they got a private autopsy.
Yeah.
Because they didn't know how he died. They were like, was it COVID? He tested negative. We need an autopsy. The coroner's like, yeah, we don't care.
Well, I do remember this. This was a while back that it was a big deal that he was 26. And the family did even say back then. That they didn't think he had it.
Yeah. Well, he tested negative. Yeah. He didn't have it. Yeah. I don't know why they have him listed as a COVID death.
The Alex Joneses of the world are going to have a field day with this one.
So the private autopsy that was conducted by the family sent lung samples in, and those tested negative. He did not have COVID. So why he's still considered a COVID death, no one knows. And they also still don't really know how he died. It's thought to be a lung-related something. He did have substance abuse issues. There's no toxic. Can I speak? Is it possible that I cannot speak now?
Do you have?
Have I suddenly?
It's restless genitals. I'm sorry. I feel for you.
No toxicology report yet.
Okay.
On him.
Well, maybe we'll find it. Like he'll come back and he's like, hey, he died of a massive heroin overdose. So like you know, problem solved, right? Let's just wait till we have the information before we jump to more wild conclusions.
The Federales were tapping protesters' phones.
Oh.
Here in Portland.
Is that
you know, people don't like that.
Do we know, is that legal? Are we okay? What's happening?
I'm going to say no, but Homeland Security has not yet come clean to the public about the full extent of its intelligence operations in Portland.
I do know that Chad Thunderwolf there, he's facing some scrutiny right now.
Yeah. Federal agents... Of course, without clearly visible identification, rounded up protesters and loaded them into unmarked vans. Remember that whole thing?
Oh, I remember that.
Scaring people.
Minivans of all things, too.
Yeah. Well, cheaper.
Well, to be fair, if you are going to get kidnapped into a van, wouldn't you, like, I think it's less scary to have a minivan. Like,
totally less intimidating.
Yeah, like, as you're getting drug away, at least you're not like, oh my God, it's, you know, it's a just a windowless van or maybe with some mini, like mini blinds in the back. At least you're like, ah, it's a Dodge Caravan. What's the worst that could happen?
Yeah, they were kind of just basically unidentified stormtroopers, basically.
Yeah, they just were, like, renting Enterprise, like, Enterprise, town and countries and throwing them in.
Yeah, so now they're saying that they were tapping into protesters' phones, which, you know, can't do that.
Yeah. So, again.
Not surprised, but we had a fight and a shooting at the protests last night, but no one seems to really make this much of a big deal. I'm not sure why.
Everyone's like, ah! Is it because it was amongst protesters?
Yeah, I think that's what it is. Like, the shooting
are
where the guy...
It?
Well, there's probably that too, but the shooting where the guy died, yeah. You know, the, like, that was clear. Like, they had to, the storyline was a juicy one, right? Because it was liberal protester shoots conservative guy, right?
Yeah.
Like that. So we knew kind of what each guy stood for. Therefore, sure. It made it, you know, something for us to sink our teeth into.
It was like spy versus spy, black versus white,
yes.
You know, checkers,
yes.
You know, red,
very
black, it
clear.
Makes sense. Yes.
Now we can argue about it, right?
Yes.
This one. It just says two people were seriously hurt in Northeast Portland after they fought and one shot the other. The two people who had attended a protest outside an East Portland law enforcement building before the altercation were taken to a hospital with serious injuries. Both are expected to survive. So that's it.
Yeah, my guess is that
we can't argue about that.
If it's two right wing people or two left wing people, then we don't care. We're like, it's fine.
Like dummies?
Yeah, there's nothing.
But if it's a right and a left...
Now, whichever side
you're
on...
Who shot who?
Yeah, now we freak out.
Police say they don't know what led to the altercation. They didn't publicly identify either person by name, age, or gender.
Because you're either an anarchist and you deserve it, or you're a hero, you're a patriot that's trying to defend,
yes.
I don't know, like a Starbucks, and, you know, you're a martyr of all time. There's no middle ground.
That's right.
You can't have shades of gray or nuance or common sense. Can't have it.
So this one, we don't care because we don't know the...
No.
We don't know what they were...
No.
What was going on? Who knows? Maybe they were fighting over some Ted.
Well...
You know?
Like, is it... Well, who's the naked lady
what?
Protester? She was out there, right?
Well,
remember
I tell
you... Remember the Athena gal? She was a big deal for like 8 seconds.
Have you ever... I heard an interview with her...
I haven't seen anything or heard from her since we had the big naked photo.
She was interesting.
Was she?
Yeah, she was, actually. Mm. They had her on NPR, and I listened. I happened to catch that.
Is there a reason why she was naked?
Yeah. She said, I think, if I remember right, she said she was going to dare them. She was going to flaunt her fascine and dare them to shoot at her with that thing out. Like, that was her thing. Something like, I don't know. The listeners will probably yell at me because I don't have my facts right. But I listened to her interview, and that's what she said. She originally wasn't going to do that, but then she sat there, and they were...
Can I ask something?
And she pulled out her...
can I ask, a legitimate question?
No, here? I don't think you can. Sorry. Request denied. Thank you.
Didn't she just do that because she was hot and wanted to be naked? And knew that it would, you know...
Request denied.
It's like... I feel like they...
Maybe.
I feel like that situation is the Mike Gundy who's like, well, if you want me to take my shirt off, I will. Okay, if you're fine, here comes my shirt off.
She does have quite a strut. Like, when you watch the video of her going out there...
Yeah.
She's strutting like runway type.
You know you're hot.
Yeah.
Right? You know there's a lot of people paying attention. You just want to be hot, and you want people to look at you being hot. Hey.
Don't you think those cops were like, all right.
Yeah, I was like, it's about time. Yeah. All right, bravo. You know, something tells me if she's like 225 with like a bum leg and a lazy eye, she's not out there daring anyone. You know.
Naked Athena.
Yeah.
What a hero.
Yeah, I'm sure she is. She's a hero for our times.
What a hero.
Why? Because she got naked. Although, you know what? You're hot and you're naked, yeah.
Well, you know, she had the...
Bravo.
She did have... Well, I can't... I should shut up. She was doing standing tree pose out there. Good form.
Doing naked yoga?
Yeah, she was. Good form.
She had that yoga body.
All right. Up next, Wildfire Talk on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
I was just casually scrolling through Twitter during the break.
Yeah.
And I saw your, you made a tweet moments ago.
Yes. You talk about the Jesus moose?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is happening there?
It's Jesus in moose form.
There's a moose running across the water.
Yes. And there is a boat, so it's not just shallow water.
Right.
It appears to be Jesus, but in moose form.
What?
There's no other explanation for it. It's a Jesus moose.
Oh, my God.
Yep.
Okay.
Breaking news.
Fake video.
Jesus moose.
By the way, Naked Athena.
Yeah.
She's a sex worker.
Oh, okay.
Did you know that?
Is she a dancer or?
I don't know. She just said she's a sex worker, but she said that she's always nude.
Oh, okay.
She's always naked.
Well,
so
there you go.
To her, it wasn't a big thing. But getting shot, you know, with some of those munitions, you know.
Yeah, you want some sort of padding.
Hanging
or,
out there, that would not be.
No.
That would not have been pretty.
No. Do you think it has the same impact if I go out there naked?
No.
Would it be a big deal? Would it be a big deal?
No, you're just the dumb guy who's naked at the, like her, because
that takes one in the junk.
Her, it's like a very sensual but beautiful statement.
Oh, but not me?
No,
I can't
no,
be sensual.
You're an idiot. Yeah,
I
she's
can't,
not an idiot. You're
I can't
an idiot.
Have erotica out there.
No.
What if I do sexy poses?
Not with a
like a little shimmy or something.
Not with a body like that.
Downward dog.
You just an hour ago talked about your blanket on your back, your hair.
No, oh, come on, we shave it.
Back
hair. We'll clean it up. We'll clean it up a little bit. We'll go to one of those waxing places.
I don't shave my back.
Oh, I do. I have to.
Why?
It's gotten really...
Does it bother you?
Yeah. Yeah. I'll catch a glimpse of it in the mirror and I'm like, what is happening?
I know. That's the worst. You try not to look at it.
Oh, I do.
That's
I'm not going out like that. Like, for whatever reason, I have no hair on top of my head, but everywhere else, it's growing at an exponential rate.
The back hair comes in, you know, you get in your 40s.
Yeah.
Watch out, Mike.
I've got a little bit like behind the shoulders, like a very small amount, but I'm sure it's coming.
Just wait.
Oh no, we deal with that.
I mean, look at the rest of me. I'm not as hairy as Rop, but I'm very hairy.
Now, does your girlfriend shave it?
Absolutely.
Well, like straight razor, like, or does she just like clippers or whatever?
Get the clippers in there.
Yeah.
Just go ahead, honey, and just clean that up. Hey, what are we doing Friday night? You know, let's head into the bathroom and do a once all over sort of thing.
Have you ever had a wax? You ever waxed that?
No. No, I never have. It hasn't been a problem until the last couple of years. And I woke up one day and was like, I think I'm morphing into half bear. I think it's just
it happens.
It's slowly happening.
And finally, Gary, 25 largest wildfires in California history. I saw a list of them. Care to guess?
We got a new number one.
We definitely have a new number one. The August Complex fire.
Yeah.
Of 2020. Care to guess how many of the current wildfires in California are in the top 25?
Ooh, this is going to be like...
How many are there in California right now?
Many.
All of them.
All
of the
fires.
Top 25 fires. Also, give me like four of them.
And this is by acres burned.
Give me 3 to 4.
I'm going to go 8.
8.
That's a lot. Top 25 of all time?
It's a bad year.
Well, I was stunned to find this out, and I think you will be too. That right now in California, 5 of the top 6 largest fires ever in California are burning. 5 of the top 6 right now.
Yikes.
Was the other one last year or something?
The other one was 2018.
The
2 years ago.
Yeah. Burned 459,000. Right now, the August Complex fire, 846,000 acres burned. And then the one in 2018, and then you have 4 in a row are currently burning.
What is the cause? Do we know of this one, the number one? Do we know what started that?
Where is that one?
Let's take a look, shall we? Let's look together.
Well, I know some
Hold
of these.
Hold my hand.
You know, a lot of times we don't know, but you know, we've heard that there have been multiple from down power lines or the gender reveal parties.
Gender reveal parties.
Two of those, 2 big wildfires in California because of that.
Yep. Shh. Ridiculous. That fire is 39% contained.
That's good.
It looks like... Ooh, that's a big one. Yeah, that's Northern California. It's up kind of in between San Francisco and halfway between San Francisco and the Oregon border.
Now, I'm not saying that... I mean, this is kind of weird, but it was a lightning. So at least,
yeah. A lot of redwoods up there. That's kind of sad.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't make it any better, but I guess it does a little bit in that some jackass didn't start this. It just was a lightning strike.
Started on August 16th. Yeah, lightning, you're right. And then the other fires, man, they got some.
Yeah, some of the photos are just horrific.
There's one way east, south and east of the Bay Area that's big. That one started, that's almost contained though. That one started, they don't know. Anyway.
Well, it seems like every year we were having this, and then last year we had a pretty down year, and now it's bad.
But I just was surprised to find out that 5 of the top 6 largest wildfires in California history are burning right now.
Just keeps getting worse.
You would think over, time that there have been some pretty big doozies down there, but
yeah,
they're all right now. Right meow.
Getting worse.
Climate change, right?
Well,
yes.
There's climate change, Mike, and then you hear from plenty of people that say that.
Finally, someone said that.
But it is.
You know how many people are yelling at their radio right now?
I know. But there is also the fact of, people are saying that are actually in that industry are saying that they haven't done a good enough job from the federal government to local to everybody. We haven't done a good enough job managing the land. And
no, that's right.
And when you put those two things together, you get a gall darn tinderbox.
All right, well, there's in the news, September 23. We've got the Hot 5 at 5 coming up next. Gus Frerotte, former NFL quarterback, will join us next hour as well. This is 1080 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.